with Inky Spoga. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and at RE Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, you can listen to us on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and Voi Shortwave Broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week. We present events that happened in Indonesia for this week. Responding to reciprocal tariff policy, President Prabowo says Indonesia wants fair relations. Andi Romani has the report.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto says he respects the United States President Donald Trump's decision to impose reciprocal tariffs on all imported goods entering the United States. However, he emphasized that Indonesia wants fair and equal trade relations with all countries. Speaking at the simultaneous harvest event across 14 Indonesian provinces in Majalengka, West Java on Monday, Prabowo expressed optimism about Indonesia's domestic strength and readiness to face global challenges.
Tantangan kita tidak ringan. Mungkin saudara-saudara mendengar, ya kan? Seluruh dunia digoncang oleh banyak masalah.
Our challenges are not easy. The world is shaken by many problems. And the latest one is the trade war, which affects us too. But we have the strength to negotiate with all countries, including the United States. We'll express that we want good relations, fair, equal, and reciprocal. What they ask is reasonable, and we must respect that U.S. leaders are looking after their people's interests, and we too believe in our own strength. If challenges come, we face them bravely and firmly, and we will rise strong. Earlier, a statement from Prabowo's media team said the president had communicated with four ASEAN leaders to discuss responses to the U.S. policy. Prabowo exchanged views via teleconference with Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim, Brunei Sultan Hassan Al-Bolkiah, Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr., and Singaporean Prime Minister Lawrence Wong. ASEAN economic ministers are expected to meet soon to follow up the discussion and determine the best response to the reciprocal tariffs.
The chief of the Indonesian National Police, General Listio Sigit Prabowo, has officially implemented a national one-way traffic system towards Jakarta and surrounding areas on toll roads starting Sunday, April 6. This measure aims to ease traffic congestion during the peak of the Eid al-Fitr return flow. Speaking to reporters on Sunday, Listio Sigit said the decision followed a joint evaluation by the Ministry of Transportation, Indonesia's toll road operator Jasa Marga, and the Police Traffic Corps, and noted that the number of vehicles returning to Jakarta had exceeded the average.
The result of traffic monitoring from Mr. Bastard until last night showed a significant increase. That's why we decided to implement a national one-way system from kilometer 414 to kilometer 70.
Moreover, Police Chief Listio Sigit said after kilometer 70, a two-lane contraflow will be applied from kilometer 70 to kilometer 36, and kilometer 36 will return to one-way traffic. Alternative routes are being prepared to prevent further congestion. Indonesia's Minister of Transportation, Dudi Purwadandi, has urged the public to remain cautious while traveling during the Eid return period. In an official statement delivered on Sunday, Mr. Dudi stated that the national one-way traffic system currently in effect must be supported by drivers' compliance with traffic signs and instructions from officers on the ground.
In regard to the return traffic management we are currently observing, I would like to first remind all travelers that since the national one-way system is now in place, please drive carefully, obey all traffic signs and field instructions, so your journey can be safe, smooth, and of course, secure.
Moreover, Minister Dudi expressed appreciation for the public's growing awareness of traffic rules, which has helped reduce traffic accidents by 54%. He also praised the National Police and Toll Road Operator Jasa Marga for managing both homecoming and return traffic flows with strategies such as contraflow and the one-way system. You are listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Indonesia's Social Affairs Minister Saifullah Yusuf stated in Mojokerto Regency, East Java on Sunday that the Ministry of Social Affairs continues to support communities affected by the recent landslide disaster. He said logistic assistance such as packed rice meals had been distributed through the Mojokerto Social Affairs Office and disaster preparedness cadets Tagana from a public kitchen at a sandy rest area, which can prepare up to 500 portions per day.
To support logistics, we've set up a kitchen to serve those in the evacuation process as well as the community members involved in the evacuation efforts. Other units are present in every regency and city. They are responsible for logistics, and meanwhile, evacuation efforts are carried out by search and rescue teams, the military, the police, or the regional disaster management agency, or trained volunteers.
Meanwhile, evacuation efforts are carried out by search and rescue team, the military, the police, the regional disaster management agency, or trained volunteers. The minister also reaffirmed commitment to food, aid, and rescue efforts after a landslide in East Java killed 10 people. Bali governor bans small plastic bottled water. Rama City has the details.
Bali provincial government has issued new waste management regulations, including a ban on the production of single-use plastic bottled water under 1 liter. As supported by Antara News Agency, Governor of Bali, Iwayan Koster, announced the regulation in Denpasar, Bali on Sunday, April 6th, through a press statement tied to a circular letter about the Clean Bali movement. The circular also prohibits distributors and suppliers from circulating the small plastic bottles across the island. To promote the policy, the governor will meet with bottled water producers. I will invite all producers to stop producing bottled water in containers smaller than a liter, including cups. This is not allowed anymore. Gallon-sized bottles are still permitted, but not the smaller ones. We will call in all the producers. Producers in several regions and cities will also be invited. Governor Koster outlined 6 key policies to improve waste management and reduce single-use plastics. This will apply to both government and private sectors. Penalties and rewards will be given to those who fail or succeed in managing waste. Ramasiti Pratama, reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto emphasized that the Indonesian economy is based on Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution. In his remark at the economic discussion in Jakarta on Tuesday, he emphasized that with this development basis, the Indonesian government wants domestic economic development to achieve the goals of unity and humanity. Moreover, President Prabowo Subianto emphasized that the Indonesian economy is based on the principle of family. Therefore, according to him, economic development in Indonesia must also prioritize the interests of the people, one of which is through food security and self-sufficiency.
Ekonomi kita adalah berdasarkan Pancasila dan Undang-Undang Dasar 45. Berarti ekonomi kita harus
berdasarkan. What is our economy? Our economy is based on Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution. This This means that our economy must be based on these principles, believing that must contain Indonesian unity. We do not want Indonesia's goods to be disbanded. We do not want to sell our wealth cheaply. We do not want to sell our land to foreign nations cheaply. All of the goals are Indonesian unity, humanity. We do not want the weak to be left behind. We do not want the poor to compete with the strong. This is the basis of the people, and our ultimate goal is social justice. This is the basis of our government, and the implementation is on the economic articles of the 1945 Constitution, Article 33.
Furthermore, President Prabowo also said that the Indonesian government under his current leadership has started achieving self-sufficiency in food, energy, and water. According to him, this is in line with the UN Sustainable Development Goals for 2030. Therefore, according to Prabowo, the Indonesian government is prioritizing a number of priority programs so that these development goals can be achieved, one of which is through the downstreaming of industry. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto attended the National Harvest Festival held in Prambanan, Wetan Village, Majalengka Regency, West Java Province on Monday. The event was part of a simultaneous harvest celebration conducted across 14 provinces and 156 regencies, cities throughout Indonesia as a reflection of the government's commitment to strengthening national food security. In his remarks, President Prabowo once again emphasized the vital role of farmers as the backbone of the nation.
Saudara-saudara sekalian, terutama para petani, saya ingin menyampaikan penghargaan saya.
Ladies and gentlemen, especially our farmers, I'd like to express my deepest appreciation to all of you. You are the backbone of the nation. Farmers are food producers. Without food, there is no nation. I have said this repeatedly. For many years, without food, there is no nation. Without food, there is no United States of Republic of Indonesia.
Tanpa pangan tidak ada negara. Tanpa pangan tidak ada NKRI.
On the same occasion, the president also expressed his appreciation to all parties who had worked tirelessly to maintain national stability during the month of Ramadan and through the Eid al-Fitr period, including effort in controlling the prices of staple goods. He also highlighted the outstanding performance of the agricultural sector teams who have continued to ensure an even increased food production amidst global challenges. Indonesia's Minister of Agriculture, Andi Amran Sulaiman, is optimistic that Indonesia's food stocks will be safe and that Indonesia's dream of becoming the world's food barn will soon come true. More detail by Dora Pandede.
Indonesian Minister of Agriculture, Andi Amran Sulaiman, is optimistic that Indonesia's food stocks will be safe and Indonesia's big dream of becoming a world food barn can become a reality if the normalization of irrigation for 2 million hectares of land has been completed. This was confirmed by Andi Amran Sulaiman in the simultaneous harvest of 14 provinces in Majalengka, West Java, Monday. Andi Amran explained, currently the irrigation normalization cooperation with the Ministry of Public Works is underway. In addition to irrigation normalization, according to Amran, food stocks are safe and Indonesian big dreams can be achieved because the president policy has been done and relatively completed.
Juga irrigasi, also irrigation with the Minister of Public Works, we have started working all of the policies of Mr. President, starting from providing seeds, agricultural machinery, pumping and paddy fields, fertilizers, and the government purchase price to absorb unhold price are relatively completed. Selesai.
On the same occasion, Amran said that the rice absorption by Perumbulok has increased by 2,000%. Amran also revealed that the current rice stock in Bulog's warehouse is 2.4 million tons. It is estimated that by the end of April, the supply will increase to 3 million tons. Because Bulog warehouses are full, Amran explained that the government has to rent rice warehouses. Dora Pandede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This news comes to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Prabowo Subianto announces Indonesia's readiness to accept Gazans injured and traumatized by the ongoing conflict. Adi Ramdoni covers the story.
President Prabowo Subianto announced on Wednesday that Indonesia is prepared to welcome Gazans who have been injured and traumatized by the ongoing conflict. He made this statement just before departing for Abu Dhabi as part of a series of official visits to the Middle East and Turkey. To facilitate this, he confirmed that Indonesian government would immediately send Foreign Minister Sugiono to discuss the logistics and details with the Palestinian government.
Kami juga siap untuk menerima korban-korban yang luka-luka. Kami nanti segera akan mengirim Menteri Luar Negeri untuk diskusi dengan pemerintah Palestina dan pihak-pihak di daerah tersebut.
We are also ready to accept those who are injured. We will soon send the Foreign Minister to discuss with the Palestinian government and relevant parties in the region how we can implement the evacuation process. We are prepared to send planes to transport those who are injured, traumatized, or orphans. Anyone the Palestinian government and concerned parties want to evacuate to Indonesia. We estimate that the first wave will involve around 1,000 people.
Furthermore, Prabowo outlined a few conditions before the arrival of the Gazans in Indonesia. He emphasized that the evacuation must first receive approval from all relevant parties in Palestine. Additionally, he clarified that the presence of the Gazans in Indonesia would be temporary. They would be expected to return to Palestine once they have recovered and are able to resume their lives. President of Indonesia arrives in Abu Dhabi for Middle East diplomatic visit to support peace efforts. Ofra Regina has the report.
President of Indonesia Prabowo Subianto has arrived in Abu Dhabi on Wednesday, marking the first stop in his diplomatic mission to the Middle East and Turkey. This visit comes in response to increasing calls for Indonesia to play a more active role in supporting peace in the Middle East.
I'm taking this trip because many have called for Indonesia to be more involved in helping find a solution to the conflict in Gaza and wider Middle East. While Indonesia is far from the region, we are the world's largest Muslim majority country. As a non-aligned nation, Indonesia is viewed as a neutral party, accepted by all sides. This gives us a moral responsibility.
Following his visit to Abu Dhabi, the president, accompanied by a small delegation, will continue his tour visiting Turkey, Egypt, Qatar, and Jordan.
Indonesia prepares new trade strategy with the US. Nessie Anuganov brings the latest.
The Indonesian government is set to begin negotiation with the United States regarding reciprocal tariff on Indonesia export. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, explained on Tuesday that under the direction of President Prabowo Subianto, Indonesia plans to increase import from the US, particularly agricultural products like soybean and wheat, which are not produced locally, along with machinery, liquefied petroleum gas, and liquefied natural gas. Erlangga also stated that Indonesia will offer both fiscal and non-fiscal incentives to facilitate US product entering the Indonesia market, aiming to improve the competitiveness of Indonesia export.
With this offer, we hope to achieve lower tariffs. This is a good opportunity for us to work on, and we must quickly improve our capacity and efficiency.
In light of global uncertainty, the government emphasized that Indonesia's economic fundamental remains strong, with rising competitiveness, stable credit ratings, and a healthy financial sector. The state budget and the domestic market continue to survive key trade reserves, just as they did during the COVID-19 pandemic.
President Prabowo Subianto is scheduled to visit Ankara, Turkey, for a return meeting with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And your money has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto is set to make a return visit to Ankara, Turkey to meet with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. This visit is part of President Prabowo's diplomatic tour to Middle East to encourage and support the resolution of the Gaza conflict and broader regional issues. Speaking before his departure from Jakarta on Wednesday morning, President Prabowo Subianto highlighted the broad and comprehensive cooperative relationship between Indonesia and Turkey.
Melaksanakan kunjungan kenegaraan sebagai balasan terhadap kunjungan Presiden Republik Turki kepada Indonesia beberapa saat yang lalu. Beliau undang saya ke situ.
I am undertaking this state visit in return for the recent visit of the President of Turkey to Indonesia. He also invited me to attend a diplomatic forum in Antalya. There I will consult with him on several matters, including geopolitics, geoeconomics, industrial cooperation, trade, education, and culture. Our relationship with Turkey is wide-ranging and comprehensive.
Kita punya hubungan yang cukup luas dan komprehensif dengan Turki.
In February 2025, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan visited Indonesia. During their meeting at the State Palace in Bogor, Indonesia and Turkey signed 12 agreements covering various fields, including energy, agriculture, defense, communications, health, and education.
You are listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Coding and artificial intelligence will become new elective subjects starting in the 2025-2026 academic year. More details are provided by Dora Parmede.
Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, Abdul Muti, said that the Eid al-Fitr gathering is not just a ceremony, but a chance to strengthen cooperation and support the president's programs, especially in improving education and building a strong future generation. He said this during the Halbihala event at the ministry in Jakarta on Tuesday. Abdul Muti also announced that the 2025-2026 academic year will be an important milestone with the introduction of new elective subjects like coding and artificial intelligence, along with the gradual start of deep learning programs.
InsyaAllah, coding dan AI juga akan mulai diperlakukan sebagai
we hope the coding and AI will begin as elective subjects, and we will also start implementing various new policies, including deep learning, gradually in 2025-2026 school year.
Abdul Muti also mentioned that three will be new announcements soon, including a new student admission system for 2025-2026, an academic ability test as part of the national education system, and direct government aid for honorary teachers to improve their welfare. This step are part of the government's commitment to fulfilling its duty to educate the nation. Dora Pandey for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The Indonesian government will continue to manage the state budget, particularly debt and budget deficit, with caution, transparency, and care. Dora Pandey has the report.
Indonesia's Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that the government will continue to manage the state budget carefully and transparently, particularly regarding debt and the budget deficit, to ensure the stability of the state budget's rating and outlook. She made this statement during an economic discussion at Menara Mandiri Sudirman in Jakarta on Tuesday. Sri Mulyani explained that by the end of March 2025, the state budget will be in a better condition. The budget is designed to be cohesive and sustainable, even though many government programs are currently running.
Presiden memang punya banyak program, tapi itu semua.
Presiden does have many programs, but they are all designed with a careful and sustainable state budget. So this is our foundation to reassure that we should not create unnecessary worry over things that are still fundamentally in good shape.
Untuk hal-hal yang sebenarnya fundamentally masih baik.
Sri Mulyani also emphasized that the state budget will not be overhumped by the president's priority programs, such as food security, energy security, free nutritious meal, free health checks, village development, and others, because these programs are already included in the budget. She further explained that the state budget is designed with a deficit of about 2.5% or over 6,000 trillion rupiah, in line with law number 62 of 2024. So far, the deficit and financing that can be issued amount to 250 trillion rupiah, with government securities reaching 280 trillion rupiah. Dora Pandey for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, that's the highlights of the week of the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
From Bandung was founded in 1989 by Muhammad Nurwana, aka Noi, and Edwin Saleh. After replacing its member finally in 1991, Java Jive's official member were Fatu as vocal, Dennis Prade as vocal, and Chapu as guitar, Noi as bassist, and Tony as keyboard, and also Edwin Saleh as drum. Java Jive's appearance blew a certain brilliance into Indonesia's music industry. Java Jive's debut study album titled Java Jive 1 was released in 1993. The main hits in the album were Kau Yang Terindah, or You Are the Prettiest. This song was about a couple of lovers who were separated by distance and time, and they were missing each other. Every second they always imagined a beautiful day when they finally met. With their here is Kau Yang Terindah by Java Jive.
Bye. competitor to Banyuwangi is Java, you should come to it with a market. The traditional market, which becomes one of our places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Simojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Besong Bangsong. Besong Bangsong is a typical food of regional Tidur Hamlet, Simolakan Village, Simojuru Sub-District. Besong Bangsong is a special menu and very fun, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadong yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadong tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadong leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking besong bangsong. Besides wadong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Besong bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste makes it sour taste, certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid al-Adha. But now, Besong Bangsong can be found at Witwitan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiahs to 25,000 rupiahs per portion. In addition to taste Besong Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego jawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwu and gatot, which is made from cassava.
Or head of methodology, pharmacology, and geophysics agency of Indonesia, Data Center Dr. Pepen Supandi. Enjoy the interview.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'm Mr. Phil Tunjagan, also this voice of Indonesia, and today we'll be talking about earthquake potential and also how to mitigate it personally. You can listen to this on Fionis.id and the application at Radio Digital. And today, joining with us on Zoom connection, we have the seismologist and also head of earthquake data center at the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency with Dr. Pepen. Good morning, Pepen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clearly. Thank you very much for joining us on such a short notice. We would like to know, do you have the data about the recent earthquakes in Indonesia? Because I use the application BMKG, Info BMKG, and I get a lot of updates about the earthquakes in Indonesia.
Right, so in the past week, a total of 374 earthquakes occurred across Indonesia.
Around 300? Only
yeah, last week, yeah.
Okay, as we know that, it's not really devastating. The damage is quite low, is it, sir?
Yes, the strongest earthquake occurred at a magnitude of 6.0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it occurred in the Banasi.
Okay, and we would like to know, how can that many earthquakes happen in Indonesia?
Right, so Indonesia has one of the highest seismic hazards of any country in the world. We have complex tectonic settings in this region, resulting from the collision of the Indo-Australian and Eurasian plates and the emulation of the Pacific and Philippine plates. That's why the huge of the earthquakes has occurred in Indonesia. And as you know, that in 2017, the National Center for Earthquake Studies of Indonesia, UCEAN, has recognized 14 megatrust segments throughout Indonesia, from West Sumatra, South Java, Bali, Tenggara, North Sulawesi, and Sumatra, and North Papua. And Indonesia has 295 active faults. So I think this year will be increased, is because we have more study about active faults, not only from seismology, but also from geology and geodesy approaches.
Okay, as we know that there is yet any technology to detect or even to predict when an earthquake would be happening, but this study that you mentioned, how helpful it is, it will be to prevent damages and also casualties.
Yeah, so currently BMKG have 355 seismic stations throughout Indonesia, so we ensure that every single earthquake that occurred in Indonesia will be monitored by BMKG. So BMKG detects earthquakes through network throughout Indonesia, and when an earthquake occurs, the sensors, then we call it meters, record the vibration of seismic waves. Then the data is then transmitted to BMKG monitoring sensors in Jakarta using communication systems, and then in Jakarta, the earthquake analyzed, then review this earthquake, consists of epicenter, depth, magnitude, and fault type. As this information disseminates to public by stakeholders, various channels such as TV, radio, and mobile apps.
And when an earthquake happens until it can reach the people, for example, me using Info BMKG application, how fast is it to reach me?
I think it's less than 3 minutes.
Less than 3 minutes, so it's not quick. So make sure if you happen to be in Indonesia, download the application Info BMKG to know the updates about especially related to earthquakes. And you said that Indonesia have certain characteristics that can be a factor to so many earthquakes in Indonesia. And we know that recently the Myanmar and Thailand earthquake, well, the whole world is quite sad about it. But is there any differences between the earthquake in here and in Myanmar and Thailand?
Right, so basically, the earthquakes in Myanmar and Indonesia are both caused by tectonic activity, but they occur in different geological settings and have different characteristics, impact, and associated risk.
I see, okay. And then I got an additional question, sir, from the newsroom. So, well, let's go back about the technology that detects and warns about the earthquake. Can this technology also reach people in remote areas?
Of course. Currently, we have a lot of dissemination systems. And then we call it new generation of tsunami alarm systems. So, by this system, we ensure this information can reach people to the remote area.
And let's talk about the mitigation should there be earthquake when people are visiting in Indonesia. Indonesia is, of course, we have a lot of earthquakes, but mostly safe. But if that happens, any tips for the people?
Right. So, during an earthquake, the most important thing is to stay calm and act quickly to protect yourself. If you are in windows, for instance, immediately drop to the ground. Stay away from windows, mirrors, glass, and heavy furniture that could fall. And if you are inside a high-rise building, remain where you are. Do not use elevators and move away from windows and exterior walls. And if you are near the coast and feel a strong or long-lasting earthquake, evacuate to higher ground immediately after the shaking stops, as it may be a sign of an impending tsunami. Do not wait for official warnings. Move quickly and stay away from the shore until authorities declare it safe. So it's safe for people.
Okay, so that's the tip for people if you're visiting Indonesia and there should be any kind of earthquake. And if you are around the coastal area, you can see a lot of signage where to go, especially during tsunami. And make sure to pay attention to those signs and you will be safe. Okay, thank you very much, Pat Pepin, for joining us this morning. Have a good day.
Right, thank you.
Well, listen, that is our short talk about the earthquake in Indonesia. We have a lot of earthquakes and we know the factors. Mostly quite safe, but we got also very useful tips to do when it happens. And we've just talked with the seismologist and also the head of the Indonesian Meteorological and Geophysics Agency's Earthquake Day Press Center with Dr. Pat Pepin. So thank you listen again to this talk on our YouTube channel, Real Life Official.
Voice of India.
Sakura,
I would like to say thank you very much for your time and attention to listen to our program. Have a nice weekend and see you then.